nationally recognized for making Stallions and Curly Stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Horse racing fans, major Southern California thoroughbred racing continues at Los Alamitos Racecourse with the LA County Fair Meet, with exciting daytime racing through July 10th. First post today is 2 p.m. Pacific. The Saturday night card will include the running of the Los Alamitos Derby. Slowdown Andy will look to become the first to win the Los Alamitos Futurity and Derby. The field will also include recent Affirm Stakes runner-up High Connection. And on Sunday afternoon, our closing day program will include mandatory payouts on all wagers. Plus, our day and night weekend doubleheaders continue as our nighttime action follows the daytime cards. The Saturday night card includes the Governor's Cup Futurity Trials. The Governor's Cup Derby Trials are set for Sunday night. Watch all the action on TVG or at your favorite satellite facility or ADW provider. Great day and night racing continues at Los Alamitos. For more, visit losalamitos.com.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet to detect gene doping in thoroughbreds. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. About 7 minutes in here, hour three. Andy Serling's going to join us momentarily, and I will take the opportunity as we get excited about the Saratoga season Thursday, 48 hours away. I couldn't resist yesterday the opportunity to grab a hard copy, a paper copy, of the Daily Racing Forum's Saratoga Player's Guide. Andy is with us. Andy, good morning.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Getting excited.
Are you?
Yes.
I'm Steve, you're excited. I'm excited. I'm excited for having lunch today. That's what I'm excited about.
You're just excited because I'm bringing you that jar of Tupelo honey that I've promised
you. If you would actually just drop the Tupelo honey off of my house, I could have lunch somewhere else. It'd be absolutely perfect day.
the greatest. I was saying, I think the last few years, I would say the last 7-8 years, I've pretty much just printed things out selectively from the online, the player's guide from the Daily Racing Form. But for years, Andy, it was the greatest thing when it would show up at the newsstand and you would buy the player's guide and look through the previous year's charts and you know, just dig into all the information. People look forward to this so much, and certainly nobody knows that better than you.
Nobody? You know, there's somebody out there that does? It could be one person.
I don't think so.
There are people who have been coming here longer than I have. I'm not that old yet. You know, I'm looking forward to it. It's nice to be in Saratoga. It's always nice to get up there, you know, before the meet and just be in Saratoga. It's such a nice place. And I'm happy to be here. Looking forward to Thursday. Looking forward to the meet. First two cards, you know, are pretty good.
Well, we'll talk about the cards. And actually, I got a jump on things. I actually did the opening day card. Haven't looked at Friday closely yet, but I do want to get some opinions because I think I can match wits.
I'm at my mom's house on the porch, and I don't have my forms with me, so I don't know how many opinions you're going to get. But.
Ooh, all right. Are your picks up yet?
No.
All right. Well, then maybe I'll offer my opinions, and you can...
I hear radios turning off all over the country.
You know, for you, it's a unique. It is a little different than a lot of people. Not that there aren't others that grew up in the area, but you know, you came to Saratoga, you know, moving from the Princeton area. How old were you when the family moved?
I was 11.
Okay, so a little older than I thought. Interesting.
Steve, you know that Casey Hutchinson, the woman who testified recently, she comes from a town in New Jersey where I used to live.
Is that right? Didn't you live in Princeton?
She and Al Haig's mother. That's actually true. There was a woman you see her walking around a small town, and it was Al Haig's mother. We found out later. But anyway, what about Princeton?
I always thought you grew up in Princeton.
I grew up in Pennington. It was like 6 miles from.
Yeah. I've been through there all the way.
There's a big statue, the 113 King George Road.
I love it. The childhood home of.
Actually, there's a younger guy who comes to the track. I've seen him in Saratoga for years. He comes by, and he grew up in the house next door after in Pennington.
Well, that's almost ridiculous.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
He actually sent me on Twitter a picture of the house, my old house. I haven't been back there in years. It was outside. You know, my dad worked at ETS, which is sort of midway between Pennington and Princeton.
Well, when you came to Saratoga, I mean, talk about a little bit why, you know, why it's. I mean, you really, I'm just thinking, you can identify as much as anybody too, how the town, you know, has really elevated. I say this occasionally. I don't think I've had this conversation with you, but I mean, I can remember coming here in the 70s. And the Saratoga we enjoy now is not the Saratoga of the 70s and 80s.
When we moved here in 73, and we lived actually very close to where my mom is now. We were in Regent, just off Caroline. And you walk down Caroline, the bottom of the hill where there's that parking lot across the street from Sperry's, there are actually buildings there. There was Carl's Books, used bookstore with the Great Cat. There's a head shop that was opened infrequently.
Yep.
Around the corner across from where the Metro was, now there's a bar there, whatever it is, Nine Maple is, was Willie Lum's. All these there. Gaffney's, the place that was became Gaffney's shortly thereafter, the sort of health food type restaurant. Thin Lint was there. Desperate Annie's was there. Where I mean, I don't even know what it's called now. It became that place 13, but I think it's long since not that. A few weeks ago, but it became Sages and then Ico's. That opened after the first year they were there. Sages opened as a small restaurant, and there was another part of it was a frozen, like a pretzel place, T-Bores. My brother bought the pinball machine, actually, was there. I remember that. That was great for the house. But yeah, I mean, Broadway was so different, right? I mean, where that downtown marketplace was a big National Auto, where the restaurants are by that club Newberry's. That was a giant Newberry's, which was like a Woolworth's.
Yep, five and done.
You know, there weren't a lot of restaurants. The time, you know, between Spring and Phyla's, where Joe Jewell's, the newsstand, was, but also D'Andrea's was. They had good pizza, this bar. But no, it was just a different town, different place. Not near Patty's was there, same place, obviously. I don't think anything else, you know, where Bailey's, the bar is, that was the Golden Grill. But all those other places, none of them were really there. None of them were there. No, it's a very different town. It really started perking up in the 80s, early 80s, I would say. It's the greatest town. It's an incredible place. It's always so nice to get back here and be here. It's really, really terrific. I mean, the racing is great, obviously, and part of it, but just the sort of the quality of life and being here, you know, and walking to and from the track and being around town and having dinner downtown. It's just it's a nice existence for a couple of months, that's for sure.
What are some of your best memories, actually, horseplay related, and also
it's hard to remember what your best memories are, right?
Well,
any races, individual races, it's so hard.
Yeah, I mean memorable moments.
There have been so many, it's hard to know. You know, there's more recent ones, there's older ones. I mean, more recently, races like Arrogate's Travers and Rachel Alexander's Woodward, and going back, races like Holy Bull's Travers, and, you know, sort of the disappointment of the final affirmed Allidar meeting, the excitement of that day. But there, you know, there's just so many. I think of so much of my life, and the important things in my life, are as a result of growing up in Saratoga and being at that racetrack, that it's, you know, I wouldn't want to encapsulate them into any one day or anything, you know. I mean, listen, all the people I met up here, I would never have met all these people, you know, random full-time horse players. It was a different game back then. There really were a lot of people that made their living playing the horses when they came to Saratoga. But, you know, meeting people like Beyer in 75, but a lot of other people that I met over the years, people that really had a profound effect on my life. A lot of people that wouldn't even know they did. People that are long sort of, they're probably still alive, but they're long sort of gone, you know, from the racing landscape, for better or worse. But, I mean, so many fun experiences, so many people, some gone, many still around.
I think about, you know, the first few times we came as a family, and you know, my parents, we would go, you know, all over the place, Tanglewood, I remember coming up to, you know, Lake George, and you know, just being aware, Andy, of the racing side of things, and then having gone to Colgate, the opportunity to come, you know, let's be honest, to come to Skidmore and meet, you know, meet perspectives. I took an interest. I mean, the town had a certain appeal that was. It was just obvious, and I think that's what's so infectious. And you know, so I can only imagine what it was like to, you know, to actually, you know, really grow up here, and then be as involved in the game as you know you've always been.
Oh, I mean, the summers, you know, when I was in college, when I came back here in the summers, were some of the best times of my life. You know, they were great times, and being back here in the summer and. My parents usually rented, so I sort of found somewhere to stay. And yeah, no, those were great times, no doubt about it. You know, And the drinking age was 18 when I was 18, and it's never. So I always was able to go to bars here, probably since I was 17 or so. So I, you know, I, yeah, that nightlife in Saratoga was really great. And, you know, most of the summers were spent being out until 4 in the morning most nights. And it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. No question about it. No, it's, and it really never stopped being fun. I mean, it's still fun, but at different levels and different ways. But yeah, no, Saratoga, it wasn't just the racing. And, you know, back then, obviously, how much I looked forward to the racing starting, obviously a big deal, but not just the racing, other things as well. And I mean, it's sometimes surprising to me. It is and it isn't surprising, you know. I'm the kid who wanted to be a fireman and grew up and became a fireman, you know. So, I mean, to end up working and racing the way I have, I mean, it's a blessing. It's been a wonderful thing for me in my life. But obviously the seeds were planted in Saratoga. And if it wasn't for all the people I had met, I don't think it would have really happened. Though I think a lot of that also happened because of my playing the horses full-time in the mid-90s for those 4 years. That's probably when I really planted the seeds for doing this stuff now, how it eventually worked out. But I don't know that I would have been able to have the same connections that I had then if I hadn't grown up here. So it's all interconnected.
The famous stories about Broadway and the newsstand, right? And waiting for the papers to be delivered.
Yeah, I'd be embarrassed to go back in a time machine and see myself as a little kid, but no, it was exciting. You know, I remember being in Joe Duell's one of the first or second summers I was here. I remember David Brinkley coming in and buying a Sports Illustrated while I was there and thinking, wow. You know, and back then, there were only, you know, there was Cronkite and Brinkley and those people, and you watched them. I think we watched Brinkley a lot in my house, and, you know, it was a big deal, right? Seeing somebody like him was a big star, and thinking, wow, everybody comes to Saratoga.
Well, you mentioned Brinkley. What about Huntley?
I didn't see him. If he was there, he was somewhere else. He didn't come to
Right, because they were.
I'm aware.
They were an entry.
I got the illusion.
No, I love
all
it.
All of your ridiculous things aren't so obtuse.
Well, if they're ridiculous, you're the one who years ago told me just go with them, and whoever gets the reference gets the reference.
I agree. Yes. If it bends, it's funny. If it breaks, it's not.
Well, give us a little feel. Let's include Andy in the conversation, kind of the wrap-up from Belmont as well, because certainly finished with a flourish, and I think people will be anticipating maybe betting against Classic Causeway in the Saratoga Derby when that occasion arises.
Well, considering my fine opinion on him going into the Belmont Derby, I'm not sure how much I should make fun of him going forward. And, you know, Kenny is a guy who dreams big and makes a lot of wild and crazy predictions, most of them which don't come true or even come to fruition. But on the other hand, you know, you have to give him credit for a trainer who doesn't have any concern with looking foolish. And as a result, he's managed to sometimes do somewhat seemingly impossible, you know, and he was a surprising horse. I mean, listen, obviously he had some turf pedigree, and he was helped by the scratch of Emmanuel, which is an unfortunate situation. I feel bad for Todd Fletcher and connections, actually. And also, you know, he'd taken the rails down for the first time since Belmont weekend, so being on the heads in the inner was a fairly clear advantage on Saturday's card.
Sure.
So, you know, a lot of things go his way to win that race with an 89 buyer. You know, whether or not the field will look similar come Saratoga, you know, we don't know. It's hard to know, you know. He is faster than any horse he'll probably run with early, but the question is how fast would he have to run? It's a race where last year came with a very strong pace. Of course, last year was won by a horse who regarded as one of the top horses in the world right now. How that happened, I'll have no idea. It'll be interesting to see. And I imagine, you know, I really haven't watched the race again, to be honest with you, and I need to. I just had a lot of stuff going on and haven't gotten to it. But it does seem like others didn't get the best of trips. But it doesn't take away from Classic Causeway winning it. And, you know, obviously a big price. Whether or not he can beat that in Saratoga to be seen, and you know, it'll be a much shorter price. So I don't think he's going to be a huge favorite of any type at all, because I'm sure a lot of people are skeptical going forward. And whether or not his actual march to the arc happens, that was his only time to balance that. Instead of he actually has. But listen, you know, I think, you know the interesting thing about Classic Causeway as a horse?
In what regard?
There's something very interesting about him, right? You're not aware of this.
I'm not sure what.
He's from the last crop of Giants Causeway.
Right.
Are you aware of how many foals he had?
That year? No.
Three.
I was going to say a small number. Okay.
So he's from the last crop of a great horse who had a tremendous career as a stallion. And he's one of three and, you know, pretty good horse. So it's actually kind of an interesting story. And I think that that alone gives him a chance to have somewhat of a stallion career. But, you know, make no mistake, stallion careers in this country are based on turf success, not turf success. And, you know, Giants Causeway in some ways is a perfect example of that. As much as he had ever done over in Europe, he would not have stood in the United States based on his European record. And that's why they ran him the Classic, and the fact that he ran that tremendous race against his now. And, you know, anybody that hasn't seen the 2000 Classic or hasn't seen it in a while, just go to YouTube and watch the 2000 Breeders' Cup Classic, because those two guys put on some kind of show. And in finishing a close second in that race, it enabled him to have a chance to have the career that he had as a stallion in America. And
true.
That's one of the reasons that I felt that he was better off pointing towards races like the King, you know, like the Alan Jerkins and such. And you know, listen, he got a grade one in a race that I never would have predicted it. Whether or not, though, it's something that enhances his stallion value is a very different question. Though I do think his sort of, I hate to use the word unique, but this is an unusual situation to have the last crop, a minuscule crop of a you know, a tremendous stallion over the years proved to be as talented as Classic Causeway is, because make no mistake, he's a very, very good horse. The question is, what are the races where he has the best chance to show that? Well, Kenny's going to say now it's these distance turf races. Okay, maybe that's the case. I'm still not convinced, based on the race he ran in his debut, that this is a horse that could have been a very proficient 7 furlong to a mile dirt horse. This horse ran a 90-plus buyer in his debut, going 7 furlongs at Saratoga. This doesn't happen a lot. And to just ignore that and say that that's sort of meaningless, well, I'm not so sure that it's. He's a multi-dimensional, multi-talented horse. What he isn't is an efficient dirt rounder against the best horses. He's better than most, but not the best. Is that fair?
I think it is. I think that, you know, Kenny said that he just felt that right now that trying to force feed him into one turn, you know, to aggressive one turn dirt racing would kind of fry him up. He thought that this was a huge opportunity to find out about the horse and to, you know, to get, let him relax. And he thinks it'll go a long way toward, you know, other opportunities and,
we'll see.
And
you know
kind of development.
He had the big win in the race. I'm still not convinced that win has proven that this is going to be a horse that's going to be able to effectively compete at the highest level in turf routes going forward. Maybe it will. I'll believe it when I see it. But listen, I couldn't have been more wrong about him on Saturday, so I'm not trying to pretend that I wasn't wrong about that. But that shouldn't prevent having another conversation about it, a bigger conversation. But, you know, Kenny ran that race after 2 weeks, and if he ran last, people would be talking about what a fool he was. He took a shot, and it worked out. So you have to tip your hat to that for sure.
Looking down the chart too, and I suppose we should fold in the Oaks result with McCulloch's terrific effort.
Well,
and
it's McCulloch, and she ran 2/5 of a second faster than he did closing into a slower pace. I think that gives a little bit of perspective to the performance of Classic Causeway. And she's a nice horse, McCulloch, but as of yet, she hasn't been considered for the arc, so I guess I should talk to Chad about it. I know it's always been a dream of both of us.
What does it say about the Euro contingent that everybody was lauding coming in?
Well, that's a good question. You know, the Phillies were obviously a weaker group. Like I said, I have to watch again, and I do think that being able to save ground was an advantage. So, how wide were the trips? But I certainly don't think these Euros were in any way enhanced by the race we saw from the horses. But, you know, the Euros are funny because sometimes they ship and the good ones don't show and a mediocre one runs. I had liked the horse to finish second in the Oaks. Certainly outran her odds, 7-1. I liked the horse that I thought was going to win top of the stretch in the Derby, the one that Joel challenged the winner and sort of sucked behind him. But when he angled out, he's going to roll by, and he just didn't have enough horse. He didn't run terribly, but he just wasn't good enough. He got a good ride, a good trip. So I don't think any of them did a lot to improve their overall stature. But I'd have to watch. I don't think Stone Age got a particularly good trip. I want to watch that again. I watch National Pride. Whether or not those horses are back, I'd have to think that Euros saw the results in these races, particularly the Colt race. And there's going to be some coming to the Saratoga Derby that might be pretty good or better. You know, they're million-dollar races. They have real appeal. Nobody heard of State of Rest last year when he came and won, and now he's won the Cox Plate, the Prix Guinée, and the Prince of Wales, and the three. Gigantic races, two of which are huge, huge world-class races. No one would have predicted that reasonably at the Saratoga Derby or before it. He was a huge price when he won the Saratoga race. So who knows who's out there? But I imagine there's some Europeans coming over, particularly for that race. And I hope they come and support the Saratoga Oaks as well, because that's a race that's been a little lean at times. And I'm not sure why. $700,000 race, you know, it's a lot of money to be picked up. Especially for three-year-old fillies.
Well, it was nice to have. Those good-sized fields robust finish to the Belmont season. And
the great thing.
So, Andy, it was an enjoyable day, and
maybe this is the best non-Belmont Stakes Day handle in the history of Belmont. Non-Belmont Stakes.
Is that right?
I believe so. I guess the $26 million might be the best handle we've ever had outside of a Belmont Stakes.
How about that?
No. Bodes well.
Yeah,
for
including
Saratoga.
A robust on-track. Yeah, exactly. I haven't had a chance really to discuss. We didn't with Rich yesterday. We really didn't talk about Dynamic One, who got a nice older horse, graded stake win to his credit. Yeah, that was a good race.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking about it after the race with Stuart Janney. And first captain had run so well in the race and finished second. And certainly. Probably gained in defeat. It was really an exciting race. Really, it was a very exciting race. And just saying how this is a tough year to be a Dynamic One, who's a very good horse. But the male division, particularly the Philly Mares, also. But that division, when you've got the kind of horses lurking out there, like Olympiad, like Life Is Good, the shorter races, a Speaker's Corner, and a Jackie's Warrior. There's going to be a huge dog lurking somewhere. And so, while Dynamic One is terrific, and I've always been a fan of his, and it's nice to see him coming around, he's not ready to run against horses like that effectively. These horses are exceptionally good. And it's a tough year. You've sort of got to find ways to get the big races and take a shot or not have to face those horses, because there's some very good horses around this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think Dynamic One's terrific, but he's not fast enough to beat the very best horses, at least this year. maybe last year he had a better chance, you know.
Well, there's going to be opportunities, and of course the first with the Whitney, you know, just 3 weeks away.
It's only 3 weeks
as
away.
As one of the first, yeah, right.
Yeah, you're right. August. 3.5 weeks away. Six.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. We might not be able to.
How about the Phillies? How about the Philly group? Here's Rudy with another nice 3-year-old Philly sprinter.
Who?
Hot Peppers.
She's a 74 buyer.
Well, you got a
74 buyer. That race was an eyesore. Can we
all right.
be honest at least and not? I can. No, I cannot
that's fine.
Race. We ran in New York too, right? I don't want people to think I just knocked races out of town. like somebody says, I wish I owned her, but she's not weighing the test.
The test is always a highlight. You know, a great historic test came up this morning, and with the discussion of Actuator, the Indiana Derby winner.
He ran the test under an assumed name in years past. Who knew?
The second dam, Cat Moves.
Mark Hennig.
Ned Evans. And actually, I think Tony.
Tony.
No, it was Tony Dutrow.
Tony trained that horse. You're
yeah.
right. Tony trained that. Yeah.
Yeah.
She had won her second in the Prioress before that. She won the test.
She won the Prioress.
I remember that. Oh, it's funny about you mentioned the Indiana Derby. The Indiana Derby is such a juxtaposition of the highs and lows of the game, right? Kenny has that huge win and then just gets so ridiculously unlucky with Rattle and Roll, and whether he would have won or not, who knows? But you had to feel sort of bad for him the way he just got completely eliminated at the start. And he never got a chance to show, and it wasn't his fault. I mean, the eight came in and caused a chain reaction. He just got completely obliterated to start. Lost any chance whatsoever to be competitive. This game, right? You get one good thing happens, and it only takes a few hours for something crappy to happen. Amazing.
Well, just for the record, Kenny said he would have won for fun.
Oh, really? Kenny was confident? That's a shock. I can't believe it. He is the greatest. The guy is really the greatest. I love. He's really. It's unfortunate he doesn't get more airtime because he really is super entertaining. He might be your second best guest after me, Steve. You know.
It's true. That's fair. That is fair.
Yeah,
what? You don't have one Thursday first salvo to offer the faithful audience?
No. I don't even remember who's running.
Well,
I mean,
just for the record.
Relatively soon, and I'm going to be on Talking Horses Thursday. I don't want to give stuff away. You know? It's too
That's
early.
Fair. That's fair. That's
really,
fair.
Right now,
all
I'm
right,
trying to
well,
think about where we should have lunch. Where are you thinking?
Tina asked me the same question.
No, I know where we're going, but I don't want to say it. It'll be mobbed by your fans. There'll be like a crowd,
so ridiculous.
And Tino will be jealous because it'll be, I just can't do it. I mean, Steve Bick fan club is just too extreme.
You were so ridiculous. A couple of quick things.
I'm more well known for being on your show than any other single thing I've ever done in my life. Everywhere I go, people just stop and they say how much they love me on your show. They don't like anything else I do, but they love the show. They love Steve Bick. It's true. You're unbelievable. And I'm serious. Everywhere I go, the only people have ever heard of me is because I'm coming on your show. And hey, you know, you're the idiot that had me on before anybody hired me to work in racing. So you're kind of to blame, actually. It's right to David Berger.
In fact, the opposite is true. You were invaluable to.
I'm actually telling the truth. Everybody tells me about the show. Everybody loves your show. The opposite is actually from what's telling the truth. Nobody cares about anything else. They love your show. And as they should. Who has better guests than Steve Bick? Who brings more of racing to America's living rooms than Steve Bick? Nobody. A one-man operation.
You're very kind.
You and Casey. Casey's actually the true brains behind the operation, but...
That's very true. He's the backbone.
He is.
I do want to... Yes. That's for sure. That was a trying period. Let me slip in a couple of pieces of business, Andy, about television and about everything that people can look forward to. I did see, and I put up at Derby Trail, the triple play, the three turf race wager is going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we'll have 21 of those. There'll be a cross country pick five. Every Saturday.
Steve,
yeah.
Steve, it's an 8-week meet. 8 times 3 is 24.
Oh, that's true.
Just
I'm sorry.
To help
You're right.
Fill the gaps.
I forgot that. Well, I forgot that we have the first 4 days. That counts as a week. The cross countries, and they'll tie in with Haskell and Pacific Classic and the Queen's Plate and the Hamiltonian. We're going to have some two-day doubles, Saratoga Derby, Saratoga Oaks.
Outside of the one with the Hamiltonian. Go ahead.
Maybe the plate. Also, Ellis's days as well. It should be a tremendous summer, and we are 48 hours away.
Are you playing the company days, or are you you're busy most weekends? I recall last year you made one weekend in Saratoga or something.
That's not true. I was doing some traveling, and there will be some travel early in the meet. I'll be here opening weekend. Second weekend, we will be at Haskell and the Colonial Cup.
Is that the third weekend, Colonial Cup?
No, the Colonial Cup is the Monday after Haskell, so it's sort of a perfect trip. Plus, Andy, I know that you may want to come with us. We're going to go see the pony swim at Chincoteague. Watch the ponies swim across the channel in Maryland, which is supposed to be a spectacle and a half.
I'm really focusing on the Orioles. It's the only thing in the Maryland that I can really think about, right?
By the way, Jill Byrne invited you down for a Monday, Tuesday at Colonial.
Oh, Jill, I'm really touched and I appreciate it, but I won't be there. It's better than my mom.
Everybody knows where to find Andy the next 8 weeks, and we will slip in.
Just not during the meet. I watched some of the races yesterday.
Well, you'll have plenty of Monday, Tuesdays, you'll have chances, and it's got what you love, which is turf.
It's been 34
minutes.
Yes,
let me know where I'm supposed to meet you.
I'm going to text you. I just can't release it to public. You're adoring public. We'll be piling in a place, and we won't be able to get a table. You're going to pick me up, actually, in my house. That's the good news.
Okay, all right. It's
deal.
Really
fun.
I will deliver. Tomorrow.
See you later.
Yeah, you got it. Andy Serling, everybody, and the 2022 Saratoga season is upon us, and Andy makes it fun and profitable as well. I can't believe he would not offer one opinion. I'm a little surprised that he didn't have at least one idea. On the other hand, we won't see the morning line until I suppose this afternoon. David will have it out. But a couple of quick here. In fact, Papo's going to join us next, and we're going to be able to formally congratulate him as a married man. The action tomorrow starts. You know, it's very funny that how the mile and an eighth race has become this, you know, the season kickoff, so that the horses line up, you know, right in front of the track apron, which is kind of fun. So we start with a claiming group that's pretty well matched. I ended up depending on how the line comes up, I went 6-8-9 That's not in any particular order. Bear Alley, Bill Morey, Royal Trist, Maker, and Kershaw. But Bear Alley, I think, is the play. The first maiden 2-year-old race of the season comes as the second, and Wesley Ward's got a horse that was caught late in a 5-furlong downstate turf try, and now moves to the dirt. 5.5. This is half a chance for CJ, CJ Thoroughbreds, a flatter filly, and so she's got an experience edge. But there's at least three that are kind of interesting. You've got a Bolt Doro for Danny Gargan out of a Midshipman mare, SJB Stable, 30,000 Kelvin. Dylan Davis aboard. Johnny V for Wesley on that half a chance. 2-Minute Drill is interesting. This is a Union Rags filly, $210,000 July sale purchase last year. NBS Stable and Jason Barkley trains. It's got a nice set of steady work. This is out of Mystical Plan, who I'm sure you'll remember was a very nice filly in her own right. And then Todd's got one for Rapoli's first starter, Chocolate Gelato, a Practical Joke that was $475,000 at the Gulfstream sale. So just a six-pack of 2-year-old fillies, but the Ward with experience, but not so obvious actually. With at least three, and that's not even mentioning Mott with a Godolphin Homebred, the Bernardini Spelterini, and Will Be Famous. This is our Sugar Bear. They paid $80,000. At OBS April. This is a Will Take Charge. And actually, there's some sibling strength. Seems like one that might be better going a little bit longer and with a little bit of experience. However, there is a downstate bullet from the gate. So that second race, very tough 40 claimer. That is the third race, and mile and a 16th on the grass, first turf race of the season, and there's five horses dropping out of all different kinds of allowance or even stake tries. So five droppers in the third, very contentious. The maiden fourth race on Thursday, mile and 3/8 on the grass, and Rusty Arnold's first starter of the meet for BBN. Vintage Year. This is a point of entry out of a Ghost Zapper mare, Meadow Rose, and is a horse that Rusty clearly identified as needing, a route distance and real ground. So, Vintage Year, and I'm anxious to see what David does on a price basis with this group. They've all had any number of starts. Jonathan Thomas offers a Strawbridge Homebred, a Temple City, out of a Lonro mare of his, Timo. Haven't done the pedigree work here yet, but Firster giving away a lot of experience to some well-bred types, including Danny Gargan, who's got one for Arnmore. That's an Animal Kingdom that they bred out of Tutti Paese, who you, I'm sure, will remember. Was very nice. Sugar's got one for the Phipps family, Grand K. This is an Uncle Mo out of Abaco. So, speaking of Giants Causeway, and has been, collecting some small checks. So, there's any number in here that have made 4 or 5 starts. Safi Joseph has got Good Soldier, who looks okay, is going to stretch out past the mile distance of the seasonal debut at Churchill. So, fourth race, kind of fun, but I like Rusty, and I think we might get a decent enough number. Fifth race is a state-bred maiden claimers that looked like a bit of a hodgepodge. You had a starter allowance that seems pretty contentious to start the late pick 5. Turf sprint. We'll come back to that one tomorrow. The first steak of the meet is going to be on the new configuration, the Bruce Johnstone Wilson Chute, and it's the Wilton steak. I got us a fire for Todd, the one, and the seven, Tarabi for Cherie. Cherie DeVoe. Tarabi looks particularly well suited for this, you know, turn and three quarter concept. Todd's also got that Amore that seems to have some talent. But I thought 1-7, 7-1 in that. And Chad's also got Gina Romantica coming back as well. But 1-7 for me. Then comes a first-level allowance going a mile and an eighth on the inner. And there's quite a few that seem like contenders in here. Customer list, the 6 for Chad and Seth Klarman. How about Candy Light for Graham Motion, returning to the grass, last seen in the Black-Eyed Susan, and might be a bit of a value in here. Then I went outside to Linda's Gift for George Weaver. And a reminder again that everybody has got George and Cindy on their mind. Cindy, after that mishap on the Oklahoma last week, they were suffering a cardiac incident and essentially falling on Cindy. And she's... she's responsive and has got extensive injuries and a long recovery ahead. And everybody has got the Weavers. Everybody should, if they don't, have the Weavers in their thoughts. And we'll continue to update you as you know that she's going to head this week to a rehabilitation facility and. We'll talk to George as soon as he's prepared to, you know, kind of speak to the public. But they're as well liked and respected as anybody in the game. So we're wishing the best. 6-9, 12-5 in that eighth race. Then comes the Schuylerville, which I mean, I don't know. You've got this group of. Two-year-old fillies that seem very well matched, that you know mostly broke their maiden first time out. Cassie's got a pair in here. Janis Joplin for Gary Barber that kind of you know, ran okay, kind of had a slowish start and ended up third. So maiden trying here, but Cassie also has got Me and My Shadow for the greens and. This is a Violence filly that was very good first out at Woodbine, coming down and has every reason to like the main track. There's a lot going on in here. Just Cindy for Eddie Keneally and Clarkland out of Jenda's Agenda, the Justify first out winner. This is a good, interesting group. And D. Wayne, who's bringing a nice string, it looks like, to Saratoga this summer. He's got BC Stables, $500,000 Uncle Mo filly that won at First Asking at Churchill on the outside. He's going to get the open air outside box with Louis Saez, Summer Promise. Nicely named. And I don't know if I'm being hyper-aggressive, but Fast Corey, to me, is a very strong nightcap play. Brad Cox and Michael Dubb and company. Fast Corey, the 5 in the nightcap. So there you go. There's my early glance at opening day. And Popo, I'm sorry, Popo. I made you wait like this while I was just kind of meandering through the card. And here he is for the first time as a husband. Congratulations again, Mazel Tov. Years of happiness. Papo Morales, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's good to be back in the swing of things. And yeah, some life changes, but all for the better.
Give everybody the quick survey of the marriage experience.
Yeah, great. So the wedding went off. Perfectly. We were a little worried about the heat, but it was about 72, 73 because we had an outdoor wedding. So that was great. And then we shuttled off to Grenada for 5 to 6 days, and that no issues with the flights, and loved the island, and the people were just very gracious and hospitable. And we stayed at, I don't know if you've ever stayed at the Sandals Resort, Steve, but, you know, it's all-inclusive and it's adults only, and you're really pampered your entire time there. So can't say enough about the island and the people and the experience. It was wonderful.
I love it. You sent me a couple of snapshots, and I'll probably use one for today's listing, if that's all right.
Oh yeah, sure. Go right ahead.
Well, best wishes to you and Melissa, and look forward to meeting her next swing. I guess in September when I come in for Churchill and Kentucky Downs and Keeneland Sale. We'll be broadcasting for a couple of weeks from Kentucky in September. So, unless you're coming to Saratoga,
I may have a flight up there. We'll have to see if actually it'll be linked to Form to Win. So we'll see. But I'll keep you posted on that front if I'm able to get up during the meet.
Excellent. Well, keep us posted. We're very close to some exciting news and kind of a more than just a refashioning of the product and of the platform. There's a lot of things to look forward to here in really short order.
Yeah, Steve, we've actually got some of the executive team in from Australia. They flew in yesterday, so meeting with them. The rest of this week to just kind of finalize plans and budgets and marketing and so such. But I can tease this a little bit. Form to Win is going to be built into AmWager so that you can handicap the races inside the wager pad. When you star a horse inside Form to Win, it will be linked to AmWager so you can easily identify your picks. And we hope to make that, you know, if there's other companies that have an interest in that technology, we'd be willing to license it to them also. So we want to get Form to Win in as many players' hands as possible, and so we're looking forward to sharing that, and it will be a free feature for AmWager users, which we're really excited about.
Well, that's tremendous, and you know, as a value add, you know, to the really to everything else that the platform offers as well.
Yeah, it's just going to be another good set of features for our players, and you know, they don't have to go anywhere else. They still want to use the basic PPs they can, but if they want the digital performance PPs for every track here in the U.S. and also Australia, we hope to get the U.K. form here soon. You know, we've got the Hong Kong form available also, and we may be doing some things with the Hong Kong Jockey Club here in the near future too, which we're really excited about. So yeah, the pieces are finally starting to fall into place, and I'll keep you posted on all fronts. But in the meantime, we encourage people just to keep using the current version, and then if there's any AmWager players that would like to test out the beta version, they can email me directly. It's pmorales@amwager.com. And I can send them the beta link so they can play around with it also and give us some feedback.
Well, and also we should let everybody know, Papo, that in terms of follow, I guess there's some good news. I wouldn't call it good news, bad news, but boy, I was kind of saddened to see that you're kind of pulling back from the personal side of Twitter.
Yeah, Steve, I've been thinking about it for a while, and I ran it by a couple of people that I respect, elderly people, elders, I call them, and I just think it's the best best thing for me. You know, I mean, Steve, I've met a lot of great people on Twitter, and actually, it's actually been a little bit of a blessing in that I'm actually talking and having conversations with people on the phone as opposed to just going back and forth on Twitter. So I'm going to, you know, put more emphasis on those relationships and not so much on the instant reaction stuff. But not, I mean, hey, there's Twitter has many, many great people and it has some benefits. But for me personally, it was, I just don't think it's, is the easiest way to put it.
I hear you. I hear you. It's got its place. The key, though, is that the AmWager, for those that aren't following yet, follow AmWager on Twitter, and the snapshots of the form to win will come from the AmWager account.
Yes, I ran them through there yesterday, and I actually got a couple. I looked at a couple of races at Colonial, and
go ahead.
And oh yeah, Colonial, the fifth race, 8.5 furlongs allowance, good field size, Flying Fortress 7-2 on the morning line fifth. That's the favorite. I'm interested in Nacho Correa's horse Elke do Jaguarte, which I believe it translates to noble jaguar. Absolutely fits on form to win and is 5-1. And then a horse you may want to use underneath that fits, I'm not exactly how sure, but the 3 horse, Queen of the Green, fits. So I would be interested in using that horse maybe underneath. And then I ran that race at Park that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Yes, and the 10th, the Penny Memorial, Princess Grace absolutely fit. Classic Lady was not too far behind her on form to win. And then Love in the Air, the one horse.
Yep.
And the exact 9 of 11 lifetime fit. So, it's not going to be a shoe-in. And I just know Paco's aggressive, and he's on the one. So,
exactly.
Yeah, those are two interesting races that I looked at today. And I'll post those later on the AmWager Twitter account.
And I'll send them out there as well. Papo Morales, everybody. Form to win, AmWager. Andy Serling as well. Chris Griffin with Parks and Gavin O'Connor with his great story. Kelly Von Hemel and Jessica Martini, the sale's underway. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing.